Hi, my name is Alexa, and you're listening to MedCurity Live. With me today, I have Tom McClintock and Mahesh Yadav of Empowered Margins. Just real quick, why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves, talk a little bit about Empowered Margins and what you guys are going to be speaking on today.
Sure. Thank you, Alexa, for having us. My name is Tom McClintock, and I'm the Senior Client Services Manager for Empowered Margins. And I have with me Mahesh Yadav, who is our COO and CISO at Empowered Margins. And we perform cybersecurity audits for clients as well as data integration services. And it's great to be on your show today, Alexa.
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to go ahead and jump into the topic. So we're just going to go ahead and start with the first question, which is how often are SMBs targeted by bad actors?
All right. So the concept of SMBs and the general idea that organized small to mid-sized organizations have is that they are not the primary target for the hackers or the spammers. That trend is changing. I think majority in recent times, we have seen that one out of three companies hacked or the data being stolen are small to mid-sized business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has changed a lot in just the last few years. And a lot of our focus has been on preventing that one mistake that costs you everything. We've heard story after story of some small business owner has worked for 20 years building up his or her business and finally has the infrastructure flowing along and has the right combination of employees and products and so forth, only to walk in one day and find a message on the computer that says this has been infected with ransomware and the cost to get out of it is $500,000. And of course, that's not the only cost. We all should know that we can't just pay that one fee and everything will be all better because that's just the beginning. But yeah, those are the types of horror stories that we're seeing more and more with small business. You know, it used to be that really the large actors were targeted. The idea was that they had all of this bountiful data that you could harvest for your own nefarious ends. But the reality is that a lot of larger organizations have shored up their security, leaving a lot of small business owners thinking that they're flying under the radar, when in reality, it's becoming an assembly line enterprise in the criminal underworld on the dark net to provide software. I can write software that's going to infect a small business server, and I can sell it to you for, I don't know, X dollars. And then you are pretty well assured of an ongoing revenue stream just from ransomware or enslaving the computer in a denial of service attack so that you can use it for spamming or there are various other applications that you can use somebody else's computer resources for. But it doesn't help grow the small business, and it's a growing problem.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting because a lot of people feel that, like you said, because they're small, that they're somehow not a target for it, which I think in the past was true to an extent, because there seems to be more money when you hit a large organization. And that's a lot of people's reasoning, is that the money is in the bigger organization. But when you're attacked with ransomware, criminals know that there is no way for your organization to continue when all of your data is locked up with encryption keys. You cannot continue without that information. So you're kind of at this standstill where if you don't pay up, you're stuck. And that's what criminals know. And that's what they use to their advantage.
Right. The same scale economy that makes your small business work so well is what also can automate the nefarious actors' plans to the point where I don't have to spend all day to come up with new software that's going to hack into some marquee household brand that I can get into. I can just go into the darknet, buy the software that I want, and I can target 100 small businesses that hardly anyone's ever heard of, and I can make a fair amount of money that way if I wanted to operate in a criminal enterprise. So that's what's happening. It's really, it's the automation of malware.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. It's like you make up your money in volume, which is such a terrible thing, but it's so true. Let's go ahead and jump on to the next question. So how exactly are SMBs targeted, and what is a good example of what typically happens?
Well, we've got denial of service attacks that I mentioned, including botnets. We've got password attach schemes, SQL injection attacks, phishing and spear phishing attacks, malware, and we mentioned ransomware attacks. I mean, it seems like the variety of ways continues to grow. And some of it is through actual technology infiltration, and some of it is through the users who are either ignorant or maybe a little bit sloppy. That part of it is called social engineering, where I can influence a user to maybe reveal information that he or she really shouldn't, or maybe I just steal their laptop case or something. I mean, there are scenarios where two or three different actors, they'll target individuals that work at a nearby business. Maybe they'll go to the neighborhood coffee shop, and they'll know, after just observing, they'll know who comes in at about what time. Maybe they don't know their names, but you know, if they sit near enough, they can get an idea of what it is that they do. And then somebody says, hey, would you take my picture? And meanwhile, the other guy that you didn't notice is, well, you're distracted doing that, is lifting your purse, putting it into their briefcase or their bag and walking away. And then that information is gone. Or maybe they set up a fake Wi-Fi right in the corner of Starbucks that has a strong signal, and they're getting you to type in your passwords and stuff, and you don't even realize you're not on the actual Starbucks network or the hotspot that you thought you were on. You're on their own network, and the signal works great, and you have no idea that your data has been compromised.
Right. And I'll give you an example of phishing, which is a very common thing to actually steal data. So usually in phishing, people would send you a very legitimate looking email, which will have a link, which if you click, it can either download a malware on your system and sit on your system and can steal, or it can be sometimes phishing is also done via email spoofing, which means that the from address is kind of changed. So it looks even more legitimate that from the contact that you know, or from your within your own organization. So it may say the mail is from abc@empoweredmargin.com, and you will be very trusting to that email, what it says, and the content also is very descriptive, and it encourages you to click on that link. But once you do that, you know, you are actually inviting someone into your house, and that can install any kind of a malware on your system if you don't have the right protections installed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually done several podcasts recently on phishing, and I think that name spoofing is probably one of the most common tools right now, at least from my experience of talking with individuals on this subject. I think that's one of the most common tools that cyber criminals use to get personal information. And it's difficult because in such a split second, you can really think that that's a trustworthy email, because we're so trained to trust our company email, and you don't really think too much about it. And that's how it can really, you know, and it also kind of ties into social engineering as well, because we're so used to trusting our company email. It seems like a legitimate name, so why should you not trust it?
Right. Yeah, that's a thing. So people, I think another contributing factor, Alexa, is that people sort of assume, well, I'm not responsible for security. You know, I don't work in the IT department. As long as I, you know, do what they tell me to do, I don't have to worry about, you know, I just need to click on the links in my email. And really, everyone is just like everyone is an ambassador of the company. You know, everyone should be thinking about what the elevator pitch is. Everyone is also part of the security team. And they need to be looking in the lower left corner, what URL are they going to before they click? And they need to examine, scrutinize the from address of the email that they received and look for suspicious signs like, hey, I'm the CFO and we need money transferred immediately and I'm out of the office or something like that. That it sounds I'm kind of laughing as I say it, but actually, people lose millions of dollars on a regular basis because of those types of successful phishing scams.
Yeah, totally. And one thing to note too is that you can trace back to who that person was that let that information out. With technology, you can trace back to that person, that employee that leaked that information. And additionally, if your organization does undergo an audit, the Office of Civil Rights, when it comes to, you know, HIPAA audits, they are very, very detailed in their interviewing process when it comes to figuring out where the source of the problem was. And they will interview employees personally to try and figure out where that issue arose from. And so it's really important to have some consciousness of what your role is in your organization. You are not only just an employee, but you're also someone that has to protect the organization's information. And nowadays we have to be hyper aware of that. And, you know, my supervisor always says it's like having healthy paranoia, because hearing all of this, a lot of people can get paranoid, not want to leave their house, you know, like change their phone to a landline, you know. And nowadays it's like, I just want to live out in the woods. Right. I don't want to have to deal with any of this, because it's stressful, you know. All of our information is out there, your bank information, your email password. It becomes kind of overwhelming. So you have to have a sense of healthy paranoia without it overwhelming you or letting it take over your life. And that's where it's super helpful to have cybersecurity experts that can guide you and can give you helpful tips that will allow you to live your life, but also be aware of the potential problems that you could face on a day-to-day basis within your company.
Right, right. Because we actually have a legal obligation to protect the data that we collect under HIPAA and under a series of other things. We can't collect data and say, well, I wasn't the bad guy that stole it. Somebody else came in and stole it. We're not responsible. The fact is that legally we are responsible. And just like we're responsible when we drive a car to ensure that certain safety procedures are taken, it's really no different. And you're right, Alexa, mm-hmm. that as society gets more complicated, it can seem like it's more intimidating. And the answer to that is just training. There are plenty of classes out there, information sources, trusted providers who can come in, and you can outsource a lot of this stuff and basically bring your organization up to speed on what are the vulnerabilities, whether they are social engineering related or technical related, and address them the same way that you got your books filed properly, you did your taxes, you did all of these other business functions. This is just another one of those business requirements.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next question we have are, what are some common mistakes that SMBs face that lead to cyber attacks? And we touched on that a little bit with phishing. You know, a common mistake is that employees can open up those kinds of emails that lead to malware. But what are some other examples that you guys have that you can give us today on that situation?
There are some very, it's surprising though, but we often have seen that there are some very basic mistakes that SMEs do, which kind of invites these hackers to be at their house. And one of those are poor training. A lot of organizations assume that their users and their employees and staffs would know the responsibility of information security. As an organization, if I'm collecting PHI, PII data, then it's not just the owner of the organization or the management, but every single employee is responsible. So if we do not train them to lock their screen when they are leaving the system, have the complex passwords, and be aware of the malwares that are prevalent in current times, and have the systems up to date, very basic things. And because of this lack of training, oftentimes they miss out and invite those hackers into the systems. Some of the other general things would be lack of physical security. At times, you know, people are working in an environment where the information is very sensitive. If they're working in a meeting in a conference room with the transparent glasses and they're displaying financial or medical information with no privacy, that's also, and I think comes under the compliance issue as well. Sometimes organizations lack the email security. They don't have even endpoint security on their machines, where the data, that the information that they send through emails is not encrypted when they're sharing the username, password, or PHI, PII data over the mails. They are going through a non-secured emails servers. So those also often becomes an issue and security threat. Outdated applications is a very common thing, because for hackers to identify a software which is commonly used in organizations and know the vulnerabilities that with time visible in the market, And if the end users are not updating their systems and softwares through those outdated softwares and applications, the vulnerabilities are used by the hackers pretty commonly.
Right. Yeah, no, there's a lot of exploitation in that. I'm going to throw out one other one too, Mahesh. I think a lot of businesses make the mistake of thinking that auditing what the vulnerabilities are is the job of the IT department, when actually what you're doing there is you're asking them to self-audit, which is something that nobody can really do. Just like I always like somebody else to proof my work. I can't, if I'm the director of IT, I'm not going to really produce a whole list of vulnerabilities that I missed. First of all, I missed them. So how would I make that list? And second of all, even if I had just caught them later, I would rather just fix them rather than make a list, right? But if I just fix them and no one ever knows about it, then the organization is operating under a false sense of security. Just like you would if you wanted to audit your books and you went to your bookkeeper to do that. You always want to have a second pair of eyes and make sure that everything is the way that you really think it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of organizations don't see the value in a third party entity that can help you with that kind of process. But like you said, you would never edit your own work. It doesn't really, it's not very helpful because you're like, yeah, it looks good. Looking great, looking good. It's always good to have an extra pair of eyes that can see things that you can't see and help you with things that you maybe would never have noticed. And the value in having that third party organization is so valuable because it can save you so much in the long run.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is stopping the mistake that costs you everything.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And our last question is, what are the top three preventative, and I also mentioned most cost-effective measures that SMBs can take to protect their organization? A lot of times I see with smaller organizations, they really are focused on cost-effective measures because they don't want to do something that's going to break the bank. You know, they're smaller organizations and they sometimes can't afford really high-tech cybersecurity measures that larger organizations can afford to do. So what are some of the best measures that they can take?
Well, I would say training is an important thing. As Mahesh was talking about, really making sure that your employees understand what their role is within the organization from a security standpoint, and that they understand the importance of complex passwords and all of these tactics that we outlined. You can set up formal training, or you can refer resources to your employees and make that part of their job description, or you can just wing it. But if you wing it, you're probably not going to get good results, just like in any other training scenario.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing too, with training comes testing, because a lot of times, you know, you may be training your employees effectively, but testing them on actually what they understand with that is so important, to actually test the information that they've learned, because a lot of times not everyone learns in the same capacity, and testing is an effective way to make sure that they're actually understanding the material that they've been taking in.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Besides training and testing, are there any other good cost-effective measures that SMBs can take?
Of course. So as we already talked about, a lot of organizations are doing certain things. They're putting the measures in place. They are kind of conducting some kind of trainings also at times. But we also know that all the data that is being captured are stored in systems, are stored or captured via applications which are often either built in-house or custom built by a third party, or we're using a third party open source or applications as a SaaS as an application. What we miss out often in that scenario is that these applications and these tools and the networks that has been secured by the IT folks needs to be validated and, you know, scanned through that. Are there any vulnerabilities in those applications where we're capturing and storing the data, or in the network in which our systems are placed? So vulnerability scan is something that is a vital thing, and it should be done on a periodic basis. I would recommend at least in 6 months, if not sooner. So what it does is it scans through your application, it scans through your network, and it tells you vulnerabilities that someone can exploit. And once the vulnerability scan is done, the third thing that should be done is done a third-party penetration testing. So usually vulnerability scan and penetration testing goes hand in hand. So once the vulnerabilities are scanned and we find vulnerabilities, then the penetration testing is basically exploiting that vulnerability and see how bigger that threat is. So that can be reported as something that needs to be corrected within the organization before someone else from the outside actually exploits it and causes a damage.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you both so much for joining me today. I feel like we really learned a lot about SMBs and the importance of making sure that you put in good security measures and precautions, just because, like Tom mentioned at the beginning of our podcast, cyber criminals are looking to make up their money in volume. They really don't care if you're one of the 100 small organizations that they are victimizing. And large organizations are definitely a target. They still are. And small organizations are as well. So it doesn't matter if you're SolarWinds or if you are the small hospital on the corner.
I would say, Alexa, especially if you have PHI, that's becoming a more and increasingly valuable commodity in the underground markets.
Absolutely.
Because identity theft, you know, continues to skyrocket. And what better way can you open up a new credit card for somebody or get into their health records or something than if you can just steal that data? Maybe hold it for ransom or maybe sell it to somebody else or whatever. So
Yeah. I've mentioned in, you know, past podcasts that stealing someone's medical information can create a whole new person. And that information is practically impossible to retract once it's been officially stolen and utilized. It's a really sad thing, but identity theft with medical records is just one of the most effective ways to steal information. It's just very effective. So it's definitely one of the most valuable things to protect. And so those who work in the healthcare field, we are all responsible for making sure that that information is kept private and that it's secure. And so you really have to keep that mindset that that information is highly valuable on the dark web. And it's one of the most valuable things that a cyber criminal can steal is medical information.
Sure. Well, if any of your listeners have any questions on training, vulnerability scans, pen testing, I love talking about this stuff. So definitely always invited to get in touch with me.
Definitely. Thank you guys both so much for coming on and joining the show. And we really appreciate you a lot. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You as well.
To all our listeners out there, thank you so much for taking the time to tune in. If you're interested in taking care of all your HIPAA needs with a one-stop shop, then you've come to the right place. The MedCurity platform provides a powerful and intuitive approach to security risk analysis, policy management, and HIPAA training. Find us at MedCurity.com and mention you listen to our podcast for a special subscription discount.